Hello, everyone. We're back again. Sandow Podcast number 21. Today I have with me Crypto Diplo, where we cover SIP number 13, the newest SIP on the block that is currently out for voting. And it's all about the full title is called Run a Feasibility Study for NFT Evolution. And it's about NFT crafting and drops in-game to your wallet. And Crypto Diplo will help me not to butcher that too much and kind of reveal the details behind that SIP and what it is that he's asking the DAO to fund. I had the wrong slide. There we go. So the scope of the talk is a review of SIP number 13, an analysis, a bit of a exploration, let's call it. So, understanding. Really what it's more about here. And disclaimer, Crypto Diplo and I do not represent the Sandbox game or the foundation. We are not your financial or legal advisors, and nothing we say is to be taken as financial or legal advice. True for me, Diplo, that's also true to you?
It is. It is a fact.
Awesome. Okay, so the scoreboard, as of right now, we have 13 that are closed, 9 have been approved, the last two, SIPs 11 and 12, the ambassador program by the Sandbox and the Academy in the Philippines by Mark Bago. Both of them passed quorum after the Sandbox voted for them in abstention. So, and that they did that in order to pass quorum, and both of them had yes votes before that happened. So they passed. 3 had been not approved. All 3 were not approved because quorum wasn't reached, and 1 was withdrawn. With the creator first by Kirill. And there are 2 SIPs in draft on the forums. One of them is mine, the window resizing and resolution options. And the second one is the Metaverse and Disability by Meta Futura. And in about 12 days, those will go to vote, as SIP 13 is right now, which is all about NFT evolution, crafting, and NFT drops by Crypto Diplo, who we have here today. For the checkbook, the 2 SIPs that just passed added about 451,000 sand to the expenditures. So we're now at 15% of the 15.5 million budget, having spent 2.3 million. DAO-based.ai, 211,000 token holders, 1,800 voters. So that's tracking wallets there. And then of those 1,800 voters, we have as a community passed or given 6,777 votes across, well, now 12 proposals. So introductions on the podcast host, Lanzer. I am president of MetaWorlds. We have 2 different experiences that we published. And ever since the DAO came to be, the intersection of gaming, business, and community, of which I have a love for all 3. So I'm highly interested in the DAO and how we as a community can band together to act responsibly with this massive budget that we've been granted from the Sandbox. I have with me Crypto Diplo, the author of SIP 13. And if you wouldn't mind, please give us your background and where you come from.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work in tech in general, and I do just crypto investing on the side. So I've been doing it for maybe 5 years now. And since I got in, I've definitely been most interested in the gaming aspect of it as like a way to get people involved. Because I think for the most part, you know, a lot of it's very technical. But if we can make gaming into something great, then it'll be really easy to use and really interesting for people. So that's why I've been involved in the Sandbox for so long. And right when I saw it, I knew that like that was the type of platform that I wanted to get involved with, because I see so much potential for it in terms of just composability and ability for creators to get involved. And that's where I see like the long-term vision of crypto. So yeah, I've owned land for maybe 4 years now.
Wow. Okay.
I'm right in the beginning.
Good Lord. 4 years a landowner, huh? So yeah. Have you been with the Sandbox and SandFam for 4 years?
Yeah. So I started the third land sale I bought directly from Sandbox. So that was, I think it was either 2019, like December, or maybe like early 2020.
Oh my really gosh. Early. Landowner ever.
Potentially,
2019. Yeah. So you are a literal OG for the Sandbox.
Yeah, I've been sticking around.
What's it been like? So now I have to know. What's it been like between then and now? Something that surprised you or something that you didn't expect?
Yeah, it's interesting thinking about back when that was happening, because like products in crypto didn't exist. You know what I mean? There was only sales and like ICOs. So like when I first got into Sandbox, I was really intrigued by the fact that they had a real team that had made a real product before. And so that gave me hope that they, you know,
that's
they
the same thing I saw too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I still think that they're one of the best game, like if not the best gaming platform for crypto, for sure. And it's, I think the biggest thing is just how far they've come. It is crazy. Like if you had seen the first version of the Game Maker, you would have sold all everything. Like it was terrible. But every year they've made really incremental progress. And with the game rule system now, I'm actually like really excited for the future, because they have a way to do programmability, even if it's simpler than coding, that can make a lot of cool interactions and different game mechanics that I think is going to make it like really powerful.
So as being a landowner for so long, were you always like a level designer or an artist, or do you publish? What's your skill set there?
I dabble in game creation. I haven't invested too much of my time specifically in the Game Maker yet, because what I want is basically what the first version of this SIP was going to be, was storing player data. Like that's what I'm most excited about in crypto, is this like building a character, collecting assets, all that stuff. So I took that out of the SIP because they told me that they're going to have that by the end of the year, where you can save player data and when they come back to the game, there's some sort of save state. So once that drops,
wait, that was yours? The it's time for permanent data?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder what happened to that SIP.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get it. Holy smokes! So hold on, wait. That's like way different than what I'm seeing right now. So
exactly,
what was that one all about?
So that one had these two features in it, but it was much more expansive. And I mostly what I wanted to do with that was get the team thinking about ways to make engaging player loops, right? Like the player loop right now, and just the player cycle is like you come in, you play a game, and then you're done with that game forever, right? It's sort of permanent data, whether that be like NFTs are a form of permanent data. So that's why a lot of these features were NFT associated. But the specific like game variable storage that we'll probably can get into more later. But the idea of saving variables so that when a player reloads, that they get the same variable back, the same number back. So like if you want leveling system or something like that, the team said was already in progress. So they're building that out right now. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I'm looking at it from some weeks ago. It's time for permanent data.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're the first person I sent that for revision.
So it's time for permanent data is now feasibility study for run a feasibility study for NFT evolution. Okay. Now, cool. Oh, it's funny. It's funny how things change. I have SIPs right now undergoing the process as well, and it too is undergoing some change as a result of what is and is not underway. Yeah, totally understood on that.
Yeah.
So one thing I noticed about this SIP as I was reading through it, it came across as very personable. What do I mean by that is despite the technical speak, it came across as, this right here could be better. Like here, this one right here. Every single successful crypto game to date makes use of cool NFT features. But the vocabulary, like where I take a very more, very official approach, I guess, the language is a bit more impassive and that sort of thing. You take a bit more first person, realistic, down to earth approach. And I thought that was really refreshing to read. There's stuff like, well, what's the now question? Well, my response to that is, and then you go into some under the what section as to why we should do this. And that was really refreshing. How did you came to choose that approach specifically?
Yeah, good question. I think a lot of the rules for the DAO are up in the air right now. And frankly, I didn't know like what kind of traction this would get, whether it would be a full implementation or right now it's turned into like a feasibility study. And so what I wanted to do more than anything with this is like convince people that this was important for us. And so that's why I was trying to make the argument to people, which is just in that kind of voice where you're saying, this is why it's important. And this is why everybody should be able to understand that. Because I think even if it doesn't ever get implemented via the DAO and maybe they change the rules around product feature requests and things like that, I want to get this in people's heads. And so I hope that kind of style would be better doing that than just a plain description of, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, I think you succeeded in that regard. Even though I didn't fully understand all the techniques behind it, I understood that this was an important thing. And it was only confirmed by the fact for the first few people who responded, Pepe being one of them, who said, oh my gosh, this is great.
Yeah.
That's when I knew I had to understand this way better than what I did originally. Cool. So it's good that you were conscious about that. Because it might have gone over my head, and then I'd just be like, let's just start from square one. What is this thing trying to tell me?
Yeah.
It can but get complicated. You don't have to start at that point. Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. So explain me in simple terms, what are these two NFT features that you're talking about, crafting and drops?
Yeah. So I'll start with crafting. So the idea behind crafting is just the exact way you would imagine crafting in a game, right? You have these components and you can take a recipe for those components, combine them. In the case of NFTs, you would probably burn them or trade them or however they want to do it. And then you receive the item that you're trying to craft, right? So that's a pretty simple, like a simple game mechanic that a lot of us are familiar with. I think it's in almost every game, yeah, like this popular today. The difficulty with that aspect in NFTs is that you can't just kind of delete the data for the items you're crafting and then create a new asset whenever you want, right? There's rules around NFTs that are associated with minting and supply levels and things that. So it gets a little trickier. And that's why I want to give the sandbox like a little bit of room to operate there and solve those problems without me kind of dictating them. But the idea that that's the idea behind crafting.
So I guess I can understand that just being a gamer myself, but what's tripping me up is how does that relate to NFTs? You said the magic word, which I think now I get. You have to burn them. You have to burn them and then the ingredients and then what you get airdropped to your wallet?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of ways you could implement it. One of them, probably the simplest one, is when you take your items and you craft them, you burn all your resources. So you just send them to a zero address or whatever it is. And then to receive an asset, they can either auto-mint that via smart contracts, or they can have some, if you want to do a set supply, because I think that the way they do a lot of their like catalysts and things like that require some sort of like set supply, then you can just have like a bank that has a bunch of assets.
What's a set supply?
What do you mean?
You said either via a smart contract or a set supply, the words you use?
Yeah, so I just meant that the sandbox, this catalyst system, it like requires a certain number of NFTs to be minted when you use a catalyst, I think. So it's like if you can only create an item with 1,000 copies of it, then you can't just like auto-mint anytime somebody crafts it. Because there's only so many, right? You can't mint anymore. So you have to just have like a bank version of it that then stores all those and sends them to the person when they craft. Does that make sense?
Kinda. I have enough of a working knowledge. One is auto mint via smart contract or you have a bank, so I guess a wallet that has them, right. And they just transfer them.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Tracking. Or a quantity stored in a wallet that transfers them. Okay. Cool. Now, NFT drops. Probably something similar then.
Yeah. So what I want with NFT drops, the main point that I'm trying to get across is that you should be able to earn NFTs in the game somehow without having to like buy them in the marketplace or, trade them for whatever it is, right? Like part of the fun of NFTs, in my opinion, is like just getting them, even if they're like really low value ones, then you can like get them for free, trade up to the rare ones, maybe pay a little bit to get like bonuses or things like that. But I want to have some version of NFTs where it's like, a free version that you can still play the game a little bit and for free and have fun with it, even if you're not necessarily at the top tier. So what the technical underpinnings of the NFT drops are is, you would be able to essentially like go into a game, and then kill a monster, and then that monster with the drop mechanic in the game maker can drop an item. And then if you got that item in the game, then it would essentially give you the rights to pick up an NFT the same way that they do the NFT drops today. Have you ever used one of the like NFT gifts that Sandbox has given you?
I don't think so.
So they give away NFTs.
We barely just started getting into NFT scan.
Okay. So yeah. So what Sandbox has done in the past is give people NFTs for random reasons. And so what you can do is you can go into your drops page in the Sandbox website, and then you have to initiate the transaction. But then
the claims page. Yeah. Okay.
It's claims. That's right. And then you get the NFT, right? So that I want that aspect to have some in-game component so that you can get an NFT from doing something in-game.
That might have just happened too, because on Sunday I did a review of the new 00 Sandbox tutorial. I didn't finish it 100%. When I got through the tutorial, it pushes you into I think it's -8.8, where it's the first time square, they're calling it, which is basically like a tutorial plus. And then the tutorial plus pushes you to Smurfs and to the little engine guy, the little flyer dude in the sand. And they said that if you complete both quest experiences, then you get an NFT in your claims page. And it looked like I didn't do both of them because one of them takes a really long time. But it looked like they are setting you up to say, once you do both, then check your claims page and it will be there. So I think that's now somewhere in enabled somehow.
Yeah. So that's just like the beginning, but that's perfect because it means that they have the capability to do what I want. Because what I want is in game, you get an item. So that it would be like a game maker.
Oh, I see. I see.
But it means that they have the capabilities to do something like that. Some data safe state that they can just port over to the claims page. So that should be pretty easy.
So if a monster drops a sword, you pick up the sword, then the sword becomes available in your wallet.
Exactly.
All right. I get it. Okay. No, that's pretty straightforward. I was hoping it would be as easy as that to understand.
Yeah, it's just basic game mechanics that would be nice to do with NFTs, you know?
Yeah. Okay. And let's see. Well. So when I first read this, it seemed like a very highly technical SIP. And I think the reason why I thought that was because some of your words, your vocabulary, like raycast, projectile features. I could probably intuit what projectile features is, but raycast? No idea. And diverse array of gameplay mechanics. It seemed like you had a background there that was a bit more technical in nature. And for this SIP in particular, but crafting and drops, is there any component that connects to VoxEdit?
I don't think you need to do anything to VoxEdit. I think the only ones you need to touch are the website and Game Maker.
So no to VoxEdit, yes to Game Maker, because you'd probably need to add some sort of behavioral mechanic or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. I know just enough. Like I've dabbled in Game Maker, and I've uploaded stuff from VoxEdit to publish them and mint them, but I have never created anything in VoxEdit. I'm more the publisher side of the house. So I work with the developers like Eduardo from Meta Theory or over in the Dream Junk Studios, that sort of thing. And so I know how to receive it and then like delete this block over here in Game Maker because it just looks weird. Like it's come to me ready made. So that's the that's the perspective that I'm speaking from here. So so no to VoxEdit, but yes to Game Maker because you might have to add a mechanic of some kind. And then would me as an experienced publisher, do I need to do anything in the manage page button?
Probably not. No, I think like what for the crafting aspect, you would probably have to set up its own kind of page to do configuration on the crafting component, right? So if I'm a game publisher and I want there to be a crafting mechanic for, like in the example, 5 wood for like 1 stack of wood, right? You have to set that up. You'll have to set that up somewhere. Presumably you own those 2 assets. And then you can say, okay, I want this formula, 5 wood for 1 stack to exist. And then you would put that out there. But they'll have to develop their own like page for that and UI.
Where would that formula exist?
It would be on the website. What do you mean exactly?
Well, when you said you'd have to set up a formula in the crafting component, where does that exist? I'm asking it badly, but
that doesn't exist anywhere right now, but presumably you just make a new web page for it. So like instead of a claims page, it would be a crafting page, and you just make a new crafting page and then click in and say I want this item for this item, 5 of this for one of these, and then you can just set that up.
And that crafting page would be on sandbox.game or someone's. Okay. A new module or no web page within sandbox.game. Okay. No, it makes sense. So similar to how the back end of how they did the minting system with the Catalyst. All right. Check. Exactly. I've minted many an item since, but nice. I've learned a lot about how to mint an item with Catalyst.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. Similar to the back end of Catalyst. Sure. Okay. Feasibility check. Have you heard back?
No, so that's what I'm confused about personally. It seems like what I thought I was doing was proposing these items as feature development priorities for the sandbox. It seems like they've switched that and made the SIP itself about doing a feasibility check. So that was something that I wasn't informed about. Seems like what's going to happen.
Didn't warn you that was going to happen?
They didn't tell me anything about that. No, they just knew that because that's how they imagine feasibility checks being done. I guess like that was just surprising me when I saw that the title was feasibility check. I thought the title was going to be like, let's do this, and then they'll do the feasibility check to see if it makes sense.
That's news to me. They're conducting some feasibility studies for mine as well. The one mine that just went to draft didn't get changed to run a feasibility study. They had already conducted it, although I didn't hear the results. I just assumed that it went through because it's going to vote now. But, so, okay, I was wondering about that. So you didn't change that. They did. The DAO team.
Yeah, they didn't tell me anything about it. Are your SIPs somewhat simpler? Because I can imagine maybe my feasibility check is going to take like a long time. So they're like, well, we got to vote on it.
Varying degrees. So one of them was window resizing and then resolution options. So being able to have 1920 by 1080 or 4K or whatever, and then window resizing, you know, in windowed mode, be able to resize. So that one had a feasibility study. That's the one I think just passed because it's at vote now. The one that's been taking a lot longer is the in-game filter for equipment. So like if you have a lot of NFTs in your inventory, you can filter by power and then above 75, is it a sword or whatever? That one is still undergoing a feasibility study from what I understand.
Interesting. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Their feedback was that one of them was going to be difficult to do. I think it was the window resizing, and I had to knock some of it down. Instead of saying, give me resolution options and window sizing for Game Maker, Game Client, Box Edit, and Launcher, two of them were impossible to do in a reasonable time frame. So I dropped them from the SIP. And that was from the product team's, I assume, feasibility study, although it wasn't named that outright. So that's curious. It's very curious. Okay. So did they change your SIP? Like the intent of the SIP?
No. Literally the only change they did was, instead of the title being NFT Evolution Crafting and NFT Drops, they changed it to run a feasibility check on X.
Okay. Gotcha. So something more passive to more of an action statement. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So if they didn't change the intent, then maybe tomato, tomato.
Yeah. What I'm worried about is that there's no deadlines, presumably, on how long it's going to take for the feasibility study.
Right.
So
I kind of got the same thing, the same vibe.
Yeah. And to be fair to them, like, it is weird. I don't know how they should handle this whole product feature request thing through the DAO, right? We're just, because then we would just spam them with 100 features and then like they can't do anything. So I totally get that aspect of it, but it's still like they need to figure it out, right? And they need to make it up front and clear.
Yeah, I get the idea that they're using our SIPs to guinea pig how they want to handle it.
Which is good. Like this is the work we should be doing, you know.
This is it. We're in the struggle right now. All right. So the next one was, you used some terminology I didn't understand. Cool new Raycast projectile features, diverse array of gameplay mechanics. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the Raycast, if I recall my writing, I believe the Raycast and the projectile were just examples of things that make our Game Maker cool, and that's why we should start focusing on NFTs now. And so we have those features in the Game Maker now. We have Raycast and projectile, which just means, so the Raycast is basically just you can do a straight line beam, basically, and you can do various things with that beam. So like, I think you can damage objects. I think you can make it stop and collide, or you can like trigger certain game rules if it collides with some tag.
Like a laser?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And then we have projectiles now, which is like the same thing.
Pew, okay.
Yeah.
And does projectile mean also arc?
Yeah, like you can control the arc. Exactly, yeah.
Okay. And diverse array of gameplay mechanics. Did you have anything specific in mind when you said that?
I think the rule system is what I'm excited about with that. Like, just the fact that we can move, like, you know, do a full logic system now is awesome.
I didn't hear that. Do a full launch?
Logic system. So you can just have multiple interacting different, like, logic systems with, you know, this number subtracts and then it goes over here and does this. Like, that's a world of advantage over our previous system, which was kind of, the logic has to be in the game components.
Oh, yeah. That's probably what Floor Droppers was based on, because we had messages being sent. That's very difficult to plus minus and...
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I had the... Eduardo sat me down and explained to me how the messaging system works, and it was... It was very manual, very time labor intensive.
Yes, and prone to very many bugs and glitches.
Yeah, yeah. which I'm undergoing right now because our experience is we submitted for season four. And yep. So in order to be eligible for that, we have to make some changes to the new logic system, which would mean a complete revamp from the old one. I don't know.
So, interesting. So when you say the new logic system, are you talking about the rule system or is there a new one that they're releasing right before
the one that got released after 0.8 or 0.9? So when we did this in Build a Challenge 1, there was a new system introduced to where like the killing of tiles for floor droppers is now a bug and it doesn't work like it did 6-7 months ago. So we now have to use like a visibility system where it just makes it invisible and non-collision. Versus, see, like I talk like I know what I'm talking about. This is just what we've been communicating back and forth with myself and Eduardo. Whereas before, it would kill the tile. And so the plus and minuses of that system just created too much of a burden, I guess, on the server. I'm not exactly sure of that part. In any case, it's an unreliable system now, whereas it was much, much more reliable 7 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. NFTs in the sandbox are exclusively cosmetics. Oh, wait, where did I get that from? The problem description. All right, hold on. Let me go refresh my exclusively cosmetics. Okay. Problem description. Right now, NFTs in the sandbox are exclusively cosmetics. What does NFT or equipment NFTs have? Is that cosmetics? Is that something else?
Yeah, I suppose I should rephrase that. What I mostly mean is they are, there's nothing you can do with them, right? So when I said cosmetics, what I mostly mean is you can't expand the functionality of those. But it is true that with assets in Game Maker now, you do get stats on those assets. And they can be used to like kill bosses faster or whatever.
Okay,
But that's just a minor feature that's like kind of cool. But what I really want to do is, you know, get beyond that and do, you know, like cool recipes, and you know, you can trade in these things and you can do a bunch of economic activity with these NFTs, because that's what I'm most excited about.
Okay, got it. So we're flying right through this. It's much easier to go through this in person like this and just knock out all of these what seemed like this kind of big overwhelming technical speak spoken and written in a very personal way. now it makes way more sense. Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm answering them reasonably well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is great. This is great. This is very ideal.
Yeah.
Okay. Under the benefits section, it talks about how that they can sell NFTs with real utility. Why can't they do so now in the marketplace? Buying and selling?
Yeah, so they can. But that's kind of getting back to that point that I was making about like the functionality of NFTs today, right? The only functionality that we have in sandbox NFTs is like a slight stat boost, which is useful, but like it's a pretty limited feature set, right? The ability to do the crafting and the drops really just explodes that. And when you have that, you can do cool things with like economics, right? And you know, have an item be worth something, like you can burn it to enter some like area, or you can craft them together. You can collect a bunch of them and craft them into a weapon. So that's, it's kind of the same point, right? You're just getting at that, like, you want to expand the functionality of the NFTs to make just like fun game mechanics, right? I mean, I think like I talked a little bit about the other types of fun games that use NFTs, right? I think like Pixels Online is a great example, where you create this economy around NFTs and the pixel currency, right? So you're like farming all these little items, and then once you farm the items, you can get the items, and you can use items to do other stuff, and you can make interesting like economies within that. Like, I don't know if you've ever played RuneScape or anything like that, but that's the idea. Yep. That's kind of like what I'm getting at, right? It's like, let's have these as just real game items that we can use and have like the freedom as a creator to be able to create those cool like economic systems that make the games fun.
Okay, so you think got me a lot closer now to, I was still wondering what you meant by economics. So when you mentioned burn it to enter an area, collect things to craft an item, but when you mentioned RuneScape, so let me think back to my RuneScape days. You had the runes, which you could use. You could burn the runes to do like special attacks.
Yeah.
Then you had, when you mined ore, you could then smelt that ore. You could then craft what you smelted, so the iron or whatever, into equipment.
Yeah.
So is that what you're talking about? Like that procession?
Exactly, exactly. And like, okay, if you want to only do one piece of that, you just want to be the miner, you can do that. You can get them, you can sell them to somebody else who wants to be a rune crafter or whatever it is.
Oh, so like, okay, okay.
You get to choose and your experience more in depth.
I don't remember which experience it was. It must have been the past 6 months, though. There was an experience where you basically mined, and I'm not talking about Pickaxe Master, but it was...
I know that one.
Yeah. But there was one where all you did was just, you went out and you mined stuff, and it had like different colored areas. I don't remember what it's called, but at the end of it, if you had this, then you could make that somewhat more, you could transcend just that experience at that point. You could use those NFTs. All right. I get it now. Okay.
Yeah. I guess like Minecraft is also a good example of this, right? Like that's the whole thing in Minecraft where you're going around collecting little ores and then you're building like tools and weapons out of them. And then, you know, you like people implement pretty sophisticated economic games in Minecraft too, if you make in a couple points too. So
that's fascinating. Kind of cool. Okay. That makes a lot more sense now. And then use runes to pause. Project, use special attacks. Okay. Cool. Makes sense. We are making great time. This might be my shortest one yet.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. For sure. All right, risks. Under risk section, you have that adding NFT complexity adds risk that players will lose assets via bugs or carelessness. Can you please explain?
Yeah, so I think my guess at why Sandbox hasn't delved too deep into this NFT functionality yet is because of these risks, right? And the risks are, people aren't really good at managing their assets. Like we, you know, people get hacked all the time. You know, one transaction can really like risk your entire NFT fund or all your crypto in your wallet. And so like as a community, we just need better tools to not have that happen all the time. And creating this NFT functionality that gets like a bunch of complicated transactions going on all the time. And, just imagine when you're playing these games, like how often you would want to like sell, you know, your rune essence or like sell a pickaxe or, you know, craft a pickaxe or whatever it is. Like that's a lot of transactions, right? And that adds a lot of difficulty for individual players because, you know, maybe they're on the Sandbox website 1 second doing the crafting and then they accidentally click a different link, goes to a different website, hacks you, takes all your stuff, right? If you're doing that 100 times a day, the odds of that happening are just way higher.
I see.
So like, I don't think we have a good solution for that right now. I'm excited about Coinbase's smart wallet and smart contract wallets going forward because they're going to just be able to be safer tools for individual people to use. So that's what I was kind of getting at that. So that's why I'm partly... Like when I propose this SIP, I'm not under any delusion that this is going to happen next week, right? This is a long-term play, and the smart wallet and things like that are evolving alongside it. So I'm hoping that, you know, that as that technology develops and becomes more widespread, that it'll be able to be plugged into the Sandbox pretty easily. And it's nice that they're doing all their stuff on Ethereum as well, which is compatible with the Sandbox, like the Polygon ecosystem. So that should be a relatively easy plug and play if the sandbox ends up going that direction.
What is so new about the Coinbase smart wallet?
So what's new about it is that it's a smart contract wallet. And what that means is it's built in with certain assurances, right? So nobody owns the private key, right? So like a lot of the hacks that happen today are because people misplace their private keys. They accidentally copy pasted to a malicious link, whatever it is. So that doesn't exist anymore, and that's more device based. So you could get essentially and I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on all of this. So I might make some missteps. So just to preface on that, but basically, like what happens is they essentially download code onto your phone, and so then that device stores a private key essentially, and so you don't have to, like, if somebody gets physical access to your device, then that's the risks, right? So it kind of makes every phone and various things into a smart contract, smart what are they called, hardware wallet, right? So that's the ultimate kind of safety mechanism for the future of crypto, in my opinion.
And this is going to help. How will this help your SIP?
This is, we're just discussing the risks of the SIP, right? So this is like the risk of the SIP is so many transactions cause more hacks to happen, but this can be mitigated by this, and this. So hopefully, like in a future world, like we can do this without the risk of having everybody hacked all the time.
Got it. Okay, I'm seeing some gasless transactions here. Onboard users in seconds with no seed phrases, passwords, or third-party app installs. Okay, so it seems it reduces the friction in operating in the crypto sphere. Okay, exactly. I can see how that would enable what you're saying. Okay. And in the budget, yeah. You said can be disclosed after the feasibility study. What's preventing you from disclosing it now?
So I had a budget in there originally that I was going to say, okay, if the sandbox team develops this under this timeline, this timeline, then they get scaled tiering sand rewards, right? So if they do it faster, good, they get more. If they do it slower, they get less. But they took that out essentially to say, well, we got to figure out like how long it's actually going to take us. And so they just replaced that with can be disclosed after feasibility study. So what I'm hoping to do is once they finish the feasibility study, go back and say, okay, it's feasible. Give me an estimate on how long it's going to take you. And then once they give me that, I want to say, okay, I know it's going to take you 6 months. Then I know 6 months is the earliest we could possibly have it. So if you can finish it in 6 months, we'll give you a lot of sand. And then if it takes you a year or a year and a half, then it gets proceeding like lower values just to incentivize the team to do it faster, right? And also to penalize them for like not prioritizing it essentially.
Okay. Got it. So you had it in there originally, the DAO team took it out, and it's pending the results of the feasibility study where you can then reestimate what that's going to look like. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is another one of those guinea pig things. I think they're not handle it. We're going to have to figure out as we're going.
and the reason they couldn't do that with mine because both of mine are $0 SIPs. So that, sure. Yeah. Mine was just, well, it's going to be done by the sandbox team, so we don't have to pay them. But you're taking the approach of, let's pay them sand. All right. Well,
yeah. Mine was also even weirder. Like I had this whole scheme where it was going to be like, you can pick this core team that's doing it and incentivize them to do it faster. But then they nixed that and said they'll just pay it back to the sandbox in general. And we'll figure that out later. So I was trying to get nuanced with it, but I think that's too it's just too complicated for them to figure that out right now.
Gotcha. Okay. And under the metrics, you said, we expect these features to drive all general sandbox metrics up significantly. Can you specify what that means?
It's awesome, and everything will be up only.
All of our problems will be solved.
No. I mean, I do kind of believe that in some level. I don't think it's going to be the silver bullet that solves all our problems, of course. But like to me, if we don't get this right, then the sandbox just it doesn't have an advantage in the gaming space today, right? Like the whole advantage that sandbox has is it has these NFTs and components, which is like which basically give this game assets superpowers, right? You know, there's basically a fully always open or always on API. Well, I guess I should be technical about it. Like any other game or anybody in the world can look at these NFTs, who owns them. They can integrate game mechanics with those NFTs. They can just like play around with different connections to different games and ownership in a way that like you can't do that in Roblox or Minecraft, right? Or you could if somebody built it, but it's just not easy and it's just not by definition true for all those different games. So to me, if we don't focus on the core aspect of the sandbox being NFTs, then I just don't see like why we would be better than Roblox, right? Like we're just the worst version of Roblox if we don't do NFTs.
Okay.
So when I say we expect these features to drive all general sandbox metrics up significantly, I do mean that. I mean, I think people will just be more interested in making games because it'll be more powerful. It'll be a better tool. It'll actually have an advantage over other platforms that they don't have. And also we can just do way cooler gameplay mechanics and like make real little economies of games that are fun to play. And, you know, it just creates that flywheel of, oh, now there's more players on it. So it makes more money to make a game. So then more game makers come in, make cooler games, drive more people. So that's what I'm hoping that this kind of proposal would help with.
Okay. Makes sense again. All right. When you started talking about Robux and V-Bucks, and you said these will be real markets for in-game assets because they have utility, how does that relate to this SIP, or what are you comparing and contrasting there?
Yeah, like let's start with the definition of utility, because I think it can get a little bit, people have different definitions of that, and they think about that meaning different things. Some people talk about utility meaning you can use it in the real world in some way and get like some real asset or some access to some event or whatever it is. And that's not what I mean by utility. What I mean is like you can actually use them in the game, right? And people can give you things for having them in your wallet and using them and trading them and having fun with them, right? Like for the most part today, that the NFTs in the sandbox are, this looks cool, I'm gonna put it on my body, right? And maybe I'll get like a slight bonus to kill a boss, but like there's really not that many bosses and there's not that many hard enemies, so there's just not a reason to own it other than looking cool. But the utility is, okay, I can trade this in for this other asset, or I can like beat this boss because I have a superpower on this, or I, you know, just like a broader range of uses than currently exists. Does that make sense?
Kind of. So your definition of utility is a broader range of uses than what currently exists?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Which isn't great. It's not a great definition, but I think you can all imagine like all the different things that we've seen game items used for in other games, right? And I want to bring all of those functionalities to the sandbox eventually. And so when we think about that, then if you have a utility for an item in a game, then it gives you an incentive to want to pay for it, right? So I think Robux and V-Bucks also might be bad examples, because those probably are more like sand, the sand token. But this would be more like, you know, in RuneScape, if I want to buy this super powerful spear because I can use this super powerful spear to kill this boss, then I can make more money per hour, right? That's the type of utility I'm talking about. Where there's this economy going on and...
Oh, okay, okay. So the economic activity will help drive the market activity for the sand token. Okay.
The sand token and the marketplace, so the sandbox gets more revenue and you just have more things to do and like more fun to be had. And like every transaction that's made just makes the platform better off, because the sandbox gets money. the player gets a cool item that they're excited about. The game maker gets money, or the, I guess, the game publisher, or whoever it is, that item publisher.
Okay. So whether it be enabling more trading or sand token, buying, selling, the economic activity of all of what you're enabling here with the NFTs existing outside of any one single experience now. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, this was not at all obvious to me as I read this. So I'm glad if someone were reading this right here, the SIP, if they knew, let's say Pepe, for instance, who seems to have clearly understood what it is that you were saying. Is it obvious to Pepe that it's going to increase market and economic activity, or is that something you infer because you know where it's going?
Yeah, I think you're right. I should have made that significantly more clear in the SIP. But it is, to me, it's a natural reaction of like giving more power to game makers to make NFTs cool, right? Like when you can do different things with an NFT, then it just means that an NFT itself is more powerful, more valuable, and more worthy of being traded and intrinsically transacted upon. So I didn't describe it super well in that, but I would guess that Pepe understood that pretty innately.
Okay, got it. There are two community questions that popped up, both of them from Rocky's Miguel, who is also a game maker. Rocky, did you also Vox edit? I think you're just heavy into game making. It says question to Lanzer. To create this type of crafting, you should first create a SIP to create the recipes, as Crypto Diplo mentions as an example. Could a SIP cover several points to reach a goal, or is it through several SIPs that you have to pass to reach a goal? You get what he's asking?
I think a little bit. So my guess is the answer to that question is going to be, we have no idea. I think what you're asking, and correct me if I'm wrong, is like, how many SIPs do we have to do per feature, right? And so like my SIP had two features, but each of those features has like a bunch of different technical components that has to go along with it and has to be decided by the sandbox team, right? So like that's what we were talking about earlier with the web page on the sandbox.game. Right, I didn't put in a SIP for create a crafting interface in the sandbox.game website.
Oh, okay. Each of the steps needing to make this happen.
Yeah, but
okay.
Hoping that I
can just, yet until feasibility comes through.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping I can just smash it all together in this great vision of like simple idea. But it might not be true.
Okay. So if the magnitude of effort is enormous.
Yeah.
Then multiple SIPs may be needed. Okay. Next question was, these recipes, how would they be reflected in the player inventory? Or how would they be reflected in their wallets? Also, how would they be managed by the dev builders? So there's two questions there. So we'll just do the first one.
Okay. So it's a great question, and I don't know exactly how they would look, because the sandbox is going to have to figure that out, but my idea for how they would work is it wouldn't be in the inventory, it wouldn't be in the wallets, it would be an interface on the sandbox website where you say, like, crafting, you just click and it says crafting recipes, right? And you go to this page and it has all these recipes of available crafting options, right? And then it'll show you, oh, you have three of this. And you need five of this to craft to get this other thing. Or you have six of it and you have three, click craft, and it does a little cool animation, smashing it together, and gives you the new thing, right? That's kind of my idea. So it's basically just the same thing when you're in, like I'm playing Black Myth Wukong right now, and they have this interface where it's like you show all your little resources, and then it says, okay, you can craft this. I'll just click that. So it's basically just a game interface, but it would be through the website most likely to start, because that's where they've done most of the NFT functionality.
So almost like in Game Maker, how the experience itself can be traded between accounts doesn't exist on a blockchain that I'm aware of.
Right.
Okay. I still don't know where it is. It's either a layer two or layer three, or it's just a data file that gets passed around.
So everything in the game maker is data files, other than.
No, I mean the actual experience itself. When you transfer it from game maker to your account,
right?
As far as I'm aware, it's not on the blockchain at all.
Yeah, that's not on the blockchain at all. It's all stored in their servers.
Okay. So it might be similar to that then.
Yeah, the recipes themselves would be, well, the recipes themselves actually would be on the blockchain in some respect, because it needs to know we're going to accept this many and trade out this many. But the interface would be.
Okay, so because it would need a smart contract if you're doing the auto mint. Okay.
Yeah, because all the NFTs are smart contracts, so it has to have some component of.
But the interface would be on the website. Okay. Yeah.
These recipes anybody could create, or I guess how would it be managed by the devs and builders? That's another good question. I think my vision for that, and I still, I don't know how they're going to end up doing it, but my vision would be if you have a specific crafting would be done outside the game, and that's just because that's how they do it now. They have all their NFT transactions on the website, and that's how, like, I think it would be a huge project to build, put all that in the game maker, even though I think that would be awesome and they should do it eventually. Like, that's probably, we should just use what we have for now.
Were you looking at the second question when you said that?
Yeah, the one you just dropped. Yeah.
Okay. So these recipes, anyone could create them. There would be types of wood, steel, for example, in a game. I would use a type of wood, but I do not want my players to use the woods that the game would generate. These woods are assets, NFT types of variables inside the game maker. And you said crafting will be done outside of the game.
Yeah, crafting would be done outside of the game, just because that's how they'll have to do it technically. But to your second question here, these recipes anybody could create them. Yes, anybody could create them, but presumably you would want it to only be created by the publisher of this specific NFT, right? So like if Roxy wants to make a recipe with assets that Lanzer's created, that wouldn't really make sense, right? Because you don't want to give him control over your assets. So you'd have to create the assets and then make the recipe as well. But presumably it would only have to be for the asset that you're receiving, right? If you want to take five of Lanzer's wood and give him one of your
you ain't
swords.
Taking any of my wood.
Yeah, so that could be done. But it's really, you just have to make sure that the ownership is held intact, right? You don't want other people messing around with the assets that you've published.
that one went over my head, but Miguel, if you understand what you said, then I'm good too.
No, I didn't do a great job on that one.
Okay. You know, I just noticed the council recommendation on this one is negative.
Yeah.
Did they explain to you what that means?
They did. Basically, they just don't like the feature requests going through SIPs. So, and I think they did put that a little bit in the SIP that they posted. So, I get that. I also think it's... like, it's just odd for them to put it for vote with a negative rating and then not specify what a better system is. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they're trying to figure that out on their end. But my guess is, I don't think anybody's going to look at the negative rating and say, oh, no, we shouldn't do this because the council doesn't like it.
I agree with you on that. I do. So they explained... Okay, so the decision is based on concerns about inefficiencies in the current feature request process, which pulls requests from multiple sources without proper prioritization. This could lead to significant development efforts being diverted away from corporate. Okay. All right. Yeah, fair. So did they give you any other deeper explanation, or just that's what it was?
No, I got that. I got only that sentence. So I take pride in being the first projected council vote.
You're actually the second. So the first one that got a negative was Kirill, who was creator first, and that's the reason why he withdrew his SIP.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll be the first one pass then.
Yeah, yeah. The first one pass for the negative. And then you won't be alone in that because I think I heard that one of mine may receive a negative too. We'll be in the negative club.
Yeah. It's going to be funny because like the sandbox has the power to wield their vote as the abstain policy or not. So we'll mm-hmm. see if they vote it for negative and they still vote abstain to get to quorum. That'll be an interesting case study in their wielding of power.
Yeah. And that I wouldn't be mad at that because they just voted abstain for the last two. If their idea was to vote abstain for the future and let the yes, no stand by themselves, at least that's fair. It's fairly applied, even if
yeah.
reasonable people can disagree as to whether they should be doing that. But I don't bemoan that.
Yeah, yeah. I like that aspect of it. What I hope that they don't do is that because they didn't like my SIP, then they don't vote
at all.
The forum. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because then that would be the essentially the same thing as voting no or yes on the thing, right?
Fair.
So like if they it'll be a good test in their governance system.
Yeah, it will. That's an interesting. I'm gonna make sure I put that as an open topic here. So that would be when Sandbox Wallet voted abstain for SIPs 10, 11, and 12. We hope they continue. No. It's an interesting case study for whether they continue this practice and abstain for 11 and 12 to make quorum and allow the yes, no to carry the vote on its merits. Nice.
Hey,
how about that? I'd be interested to see how that works too.
Yeah, me too. Because I don't know. I'm curious, like who actually controls the sandbox's vote, right? Like who does that?
I never asked that of Seb when I had him on some episodes ago. I really should ask that question. Is it Seb? Is it
beautiful?
Yeah, yeah. I basically just tweet them like, "Hey, this came up in our latest podcast." Because they some of them will watch our podcast to understand what's happening and all that.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Any other open topics? Anything that you wanted to go over?
No. I think we did. You did a great job of asking all the right questions. I just want to reiterate the point that I have no idea where the SIP is going to go. And it's kind of been evidenced by all the curveballs they've thrown me in throughout the process with changing the title to voting no on it, but still for whatever reason, pushing it through pretty quickly. You know, it took like a week. So I don't know where their head's at. I don't know what kind of power we have in the future to declare product features. And I guess that's something interesting we could talk about, which is like what we want the power of the team to, or the power of the DAO to be with respect to changing product features and asking for product features. Because I totally get the concerns that Sandbox would have about that, but also like it's something that we should absolutely do on some level. So,
yeah, that's absolutely fair. Well, Seb has made it clear in a few different AMAs. One of them was my podcast. Another was Mia Bal a couple weeks ago. And then at NFC Lisbon, he made clear that he wanted to give the community power in determining how the sandbox game developed and then that development process. So what you're calling to declare product features, I think that's clearly what it is that he's saying he would like to get the community to the place where they can do that. So more than likely, these SIPs are helping to pave the way, yours and mine. Mine being a $0 and yours being if we pay them something, do we get more? Like
Exactly, yeah. All right, just cool. throw it all at the wall and see
what happens. Yeah, that makes sense. Mine was, I wanted that within the next two releases of each product. So
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah. But originally I had before December, but this was like 2 months ago when I submitted this. So I wanted to do it before December. Then the product team's like, well, some of these are in the backlog for 2025. Like, that's great. I would like it done in the next two releases. And they didn't push back on that. So I think that's, we really are the guinea pigs.
See, and that's what's nice about it is that we can, I feel like we're probably going to be able to exercise outsized power. So like the we should think carefully about the biggest things that we want right now and make that happen, because it's probably going to get much harder from here.
Yeah, absolutely. I am under no illusion that this could go really wrong really fast and like totally derailing their backlog to where where we think it's important in the community and motivation and the enthusiasm behind our SIPs will carry the day, but then totally derail something that we're like, oh wait, we really shouldn't have done that.
And so I want to make sure that they, and I know they're not going to let themselves get fully derailed, like so that is a nice safeguard, but like this is a great signaling mechanism that's just going to let us show what we want as a community, right? So that's important.
Signaling mechanism, I have to remember that word.
There's a lot of crypto words I use that I feel like most people don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, you were very, very clear in the way you explained it. I walked away, I think, having a very thorough understanding of what it is that this is going to do for the community. So no other questions. I don't see any more in the chat. So we'll go ahead and progress now down the chute to the end. So future episodes, just finished with Crypto Diplo, where he explained NFT crafting and drops and what that actually means, the expansion of the economics of the sandbox, being able to utilize NFTs in a much more comprehensive way than what we've been doing, going into an experience, collecting a few local level NFTs, and then it disappearing after that. There's no economics after that at all. The best we have right now is you have to have an NFT, like NFT scan, an NFT to get someplace. Whereas now, this SIP would go in the opposite direction. It would be able to go outside of the experience, where if you pick up a sword, you can get that sword airdropped to you or minted. The mechanics of that are still being discussed. Or being able to utilize like RuneScape, where if you go into an experience and you just mine a whole bunch of ore, you can then sell that ore as an economic activity where other people can take that, smelt it, and then other people can take that smelting and then smith it. And then suddenly you have a whole economic system that is built on the blockchain and can help enable the sand token and other trading activity. So, dude, that's awesome, sorry, man. That's awesome.
Nailed it.
Okay. So something to help you out, and I started doing this a few episodes ago, sandbox spaces. So right now I noticed your quorum is 2.2 out of 30 million, so 7.48%. We'll see as to whether or not the sandbox will utilize its abstain power of 27 million. I would highly recommend that you tweet at Sandbox and the Sandbox DAO. I would totally repost that and fave it and blast it out to the whole community to say, will you please consider voting in abstention? Okay, because at this point, you might as well go for the gold.
Yeah.
Because you're already at 2.2 million yes.
Yeah.
You've got 96% yes. And after ours today, I'm going to vote yes now too. So.
All right.
I
voted on my own, so I got a couple in the bank too.
You've got a couple what?
I said, I haven't even voted on my own yet, so I've got a couple of yeses in the bank, too.
right on. So the sandbox spaces, all right? So the Discord, so DAO discussion, that's where some people will talk about the DAO. You'll see my message in there, too. The DAO forums, then on Twitter, I've mostly been using SandFam, the sandbox game, and the sandbox DAO. But where you'll really start to reach landowners, is in the Twitter spaces each week. So in Mochaverse Hall on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Paris, France, if you're in France, but I think you're either Pacific or Eastern. So Bokaverse Hall, if you go there, they would love to hear you explain your SIP to them. And it's pretty easy what you do now, but in Twitter, it's been like 5 to 10 minutes. They might have a couple questions. If you were to show up tomorrow, you would get the floor instantly. So they would, I kind of teed you up last week when I go to each of these, except for Coffee with the Captain. I don't really go to those because they're too early. But for all of the other ones, I show up and I talk the SIPs. And last week I told them that your SIP's going to go up for vote. We're about to do an interview. And then afterwards, either I'll be there to summarize, but even better, if you show up, I have no doubt you'll lock in the vote. So those will be mostly Mochaverse people. So Old One, Mocha CN, a lot of other Mocha people are landowners. So you will reach a lot of folks going there. Bulls on the Block is on Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. They're mostly ApeCoin DAO, but Bulls on the Block themselves, they have a 6x6. And so they're landowners, and then other bulls in that sphere are landowners. So you'll reach a number of people there. And then if you can attend an 8 a.m. Eastern for Coffee with Captain, if you were to send a tweet to them and say that you'd like to discuss your 5 minutes to happy your SIP, they normally talk ApeCoin DAO, but they also have been involved in the sandbox. And then last but not least is Natively Digital, which is Whale members. Every Tuesday at 6 p.m., they go over all sorts of stuff. They're mainly, Whale members are, I mean, you landowner, right? You probably seen the big whale. That's where they congregate. So nice. You can very easily, I think, talk a SIP there. I showed up like a month ago for the first time, and we just talked a number of things about the sandbox DAO. So they're very open to that. So that's awesome. Where I would go if I were you to bump up those numbers, just in case the sandbox wallet decides that they don't want to continue the practice of abstaining.
Yeah, that's a great call. I like that idea. I'll make some noise as I can.
Yeah, cool, man. So the last thing I normally do is we normally raid somebody. Is there anybody that you'd like to raid? I can pick someone, but if you don't have anyone, then, or if you do have someone, then let's raid them.
I guess I've never seen the end of one of your things before. I have no idea what raiding means. What's going on here?
Oh, because we're on Twitch right now, so raiding would mean that I send all my viewers to another channel that's active. So if you have anyone that you follow on Twitch or that's a friend of the sandbox that you know of, I'm looking in the sandbox category and I am the only streamer. So that's kind of open, fair game now. Either you pick someone that you know and you want me to raid, or I pick someone and then we're donezo.
Go for it. I got nobody on mine.
You got nobody? All right. So let's raid my good friend Archie TV. Okay, so the raid's been created. Crypto Diplo, thank you for your time, man. I really appreciate you explaining it. I think you did a fabulous job explaining the mechanics behind how this is important to us. And more so, I went to the wrong website. The sandbox DAO, right? Sandbox DAO? There we go. Okay. Explaining the mechanics of this, and then more importantly, how I must be in the wrong. There we go. How that this is going to impact our community in a positive way. So if you are here, please go vote on SIP number 13. Yes, no, just please vote. And if you have any questions about what this SIP is all about, please rewind and listen to the questions. If you're on listening to this via podcast, then you won't be able to see the screen sharing that I've been doing, but head on over to YouTube if that's important to you, and you can see the questions as we work through them over the course of the past hour. Diplo, do you have anything? Any final words?
Yeah, just thank you so much for the work you do, Lancer. You really kill it. I watch all your stuff, and you're doing great work for the sandbox community. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. So we'll raid now, and we're out.